But I just love to be here in church, and thank you for being here together. We get to gather together as Christian people, and the Bible talks about where two or three are gathered in my name. We've got a lot more than that here, but it wouldn't matter if we just had a few, but we've got a lot more than that. But we got the joy of coming, we got the joy of singing, hearing others sing, and now we get to look into the Word of God, and I trust that all of it is a blessing to us this morning. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you would, at Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah 12, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's very small. It's only six verses. As you find your place in Isaiah chapter 12, a large book in the Old Testament, but as you find your place there, I did hear this story about this Catholic priest that moved into town. And so he was setting up shop there, listening to confessions and all the things as they do, I suppose. He had these two boys come in at once, and they said some different things that they were doing. And they said, "And we've also been throwing peanuts in the river." And he really didn't understand how that was a great crime or a sin or anything that he would need to be worried about. But he told them whatever he needed to tell them. Okay, do this, that, and the other. However they do, he blessed them and sent them on. But it really bothered him. What in the world was that? I don't understand what that would, how that would affect them or why they would be concerned about that. A little bit later, they usually traveled around with another boy, and those two boys came first, and the third boy came in, and he came in, and he said, "Well, I've been doing this, and I've been doing this," and he told him some things that he ought to do to make restitution for that, so to speak. And he said, "Hey, son," it just, the curiosity got to the best of him. He said, "Son, I'm new to the area. I'm not sure of all of the specifics of what people do and why they do them and all that, but had a couple boys said that they were sorry for throwing peanuts in the river here next to the church." He said, "Why would that be a problem?" He said, "Well, father, sir, whatever, the reason that's a problem is because my name's Peanuts." So, that's what my nickname is. Well, Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 1, "In that day..." And I want to remind you, as we even before you get started, that day that they're talking about is that kingdom day, that millennial reign that Christ will rule with a rod of iron and then will go into his kingdom forever and ever. "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." After the great tribulation that the Bible talks about, the Bible says that Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth, and the wrath of God will have been poured out on this old world, and that's some of what's being spoke about in verse number 1. "Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name and declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." In the first few chapters of Isaiah, condemnation is leveled at Israel. And then in the next few chapters, God talks about the spiritual and moral disease that's plaguing his people. And then chapter 7 through 12, basically up until then, talks about the referencing the Messiah that's going to come. And then we read that chapter that we just read, and it reads more like a psalm than it does something in a prophet. Oh, thou that inhabitest the... cry out, the shout that inhabitest the inhabitants of Zion. It sounds more like a psalm in the book of Psalms than it does in the prophets, but we see it's got such rich pictures in it. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 3, and that's where I'll draw the title from. And I want to preach about our well. "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." And I want us to see tonight, today, that we understand that that picture that's given right there is about a future time when we'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But if those truths are going to be applicable then, we can certainly draw some great comfort from them today. And we can look at our well, and I want to look at it this morning with God give us help for the next few moments. Father, bless us. Now is our prayer, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 2, the well of salvation. God is my salvation at the beginning of verse number 2. I will trust and not be afraid. And then you see the verse closes out with almost the same phrase. He also has become my salvation. And I want to just draw this down on us today, and want to get you to see, I read after one commentator that reminded us, and I remind you of what he reminded us, and that is this. God doesn't say in this verse that he gives you salvation, although he does, but it's more personal than that. It's more personal than he just gave you something from his great resources. The Bible says that God is your salvation. When you understand that when a person needs to be born again, they don't come and just let Jesus dish out some salvation to them. Instead, the Bible says that he is salvation. And when you get saved, what you're actually doing is you're taking the righteousness of Christ, and God is imputing that onto you. And now you and I, who were wretched sinners and who deserved to be separated from God, you say, "Preacher, I'm not that bad." All of us are that bad. And when we got saved, if you're saved in here this morning, what happened is not that you just got an attribute, or you got an overpouring, or you got a part of Jesus. The Bible says we are baptized with him, in him. And so we understand that we've got that well of salvation. There's a hymn in your hymn book that talks about more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. And it talks about what I would like to have more of him. And that song that Brother Dan led us in, "Without Him," what a fitting song for us to sing this morning, that without Him, of course, we would be most miserable. We would be without salvation without Him. And we need to be drawing from this well daily. We talk about our theme this year being great and mighty things. Can I tell you, I believe that many of us Christians are forfeiting the great promises of God because we are not just basking in the fact that he goes with us wherever we go. We ought to be drawing from that well. My mamma right behind her house had a dug well back there. And since then, they had later drilled a well and piped it into the house. But that old dug well was right behind there. And you just like you would think, rocks around it. And you'd let that bucket down and you'd draw that out of there. There was a day in her life that they didn't have a drilled well and didn't have it piped into the house. And when you wanted water, you went right back to the backyard and you put that bucket down and you drew it out and you put it in whatever you were going to need it in. You'd bring it in and heat it up on the old wood stove and let it boil, and you'd use it for cooking, cleaning, and all the rest. That well served that family longer than they ever needed it. And my friend, we sometimes forget to draw out of the well of salvation. We fret and we fume and we worry and we're concerned about everything that's going on. And sometimes it's like hits us out of nowhere. You say, "Wait a minute, why didn't I trust the Lord in that?" The Bible says there's that well of salvation, and you and I as believers in Christ, we need to be drawing from that well again and again and again. Look again in verse number 3. "Therefore, with joy," as I mentioned already, sometimes we're bad billboards for Jesus. People at your work, they already know you're something's different about you. They may not know you go to a church every Sunday. They may not know these things, but they've caught enough to know there's something about you. And then when you and I handle the problems the exact same way that they handle problems, then they say, "What good's that religious stuff doing them?" We see in verse 3, with joy we ought to draw out of those waters of salvation, and we understand that that joyous aspect or that joyous overtone of our lives should be evident to everybody that we're around. Oh no, I know we're not always happy. I had Christians come to me this week, and I thank God for them. They came back and said, "Listen, I should have done this better." And I've had to do the same thing to my children, to my family, to the staff. Say, "Listen, I should have done better in that instant." We all have trouble with that, but our overriding trait should be that the joy of the Lord's my strength. I see that well of salvation, but I look in verse number 4 as we make our way down through there. "In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his goings," declare his doings rather. I want to make just a little application here. Not only the well of salvation in verse 3, but the well of peace in verse 4. You say, "Pastor, why is that the well of peace?" Let me explain. praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. I always think about it like this. Go back, if you would, to when you were a child. If you had a happy childhood, I did. I had a wonderful, sweet Christian mother and had a very strict authoritarian father. I still have him, but it was a great mix. I call them law and grace. Dad was all law, Mom was all grace. But it all worked out somewhere there. But I remember this, that kids always feel more secure when parents are around, or they should. That's why a biblical, they call it nuclear now, but that's why a biblical family is best. Praise the Lord for every single mom or single dad that's raising children without the help of the other. But God's plan is for you to gang up on those kids, have mom and dad. But you always felt more comfortable when mom or dad were there. When their name was exalted, your name wasn't added anymore. Now if something goes wrong in my house, nobody comes to fix it but what I pay them. I don't get to say, hey, the water's leaking, because there's nobody to tell. And we see in that day, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people. We understand that I'm bringing an application that brings a well of peace, because God's in charge. He is over it. His name is exalted. And what that does to me as a believer is it gives me that well of peace, knowing that everything's all right because God is on His throne. I heard this story about kids when they always feel like their parents are there, safer when their parents are around. I heard these boys that were arguing about their dads and say, my dad can do this. You know the old argument. My dad can beat your dad. My dad can do this. And one boy said, my dad's an architect. He makes $100,000 a year. This other boy said, well, my dad's a banker. He makes $125,000 a year. And this dentist kid, he said, well, that's nothing. My dad, he works on teeth all day, makes $175,000 a year. And then this pastor's kid, he didn't want to be outdone. He said, that's good, but that's not as good as mine. He said, my dad goes to the pulpit, he prays, it takes 6 men to carry out all the money that he brings in. And they take it back and put it in a big safe. There's something about kids, and they feel safe when their parents are around, or they should. That's God's goal. If you're a parent in here, that's just a little free teaching to you. You ought to make those children feel that way. And I feel that way, and we can feel that way, have that well, not only of salvation in verse 3, but that well of peace in verse 4, because we know that God is over all. Look at verse number 6 if we make our way down through. No, look at verse 4, I guess. Or 5, we already looked at 4. Verse 5, sing in the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitest of Zion. For great is the Holy One in Israel in the midst of thee. In those couple of verses, what they are doing is praising the Lord. Now, you may not be a shouter. You may be a quiet praiser. I don't know. I think a lot of times we inhibit ourselves, and we probably ought to just say something for the Lord, either in church but other places as well. But we see that in verse 5 and 6, they're crying out, shouting. They're not shouting for fear. They're not shouting for disruption. They're not shouting for chaos. They're shouting instead, reminding themselves, and everybody can hear, great is the Holy One of Israel. I see that well of praise. In this day that's described, in the kingdom that God will set up, one of the constant themes is going to be praise the Lord. You know that's what goes on in heaven, right? They're continually beholding Him and praising the created beings. The angels are continually praising Him. Well, if we're going to praise Him then, wouldn't it be a good exercise to start praising Him now? And I want to equip us all. And I believe that one of the things that we're leaving out in our lives that's robbing us of some peace, that's possible because of the salvation, But one of the things we're leaving out that robs peace that we should get when we get saved, one of those things we're leaving out is our praise. The Bible talks about Him inhabiting the praises of Israel. And I don't know what it is, because it's God's work and His ways are above our ways, but there is something about when you look at a situation and you don't know how to fix it all, but you say by faith in the midst of that situation, we're going to praise the Lord, even though I don't yet understand what He's going to do. Almost like that little boy says, this is about to get good. I don't know what God's going to do, but He must be up to something. It's an old illustration, but it fits well here. You remember that little boy that was reading one of those action books, and his hero was about to get destroyed by the bad guy. And it so overwhelmed him, he couldn't take it anymore, so he flipped all the way to the back to see if the hero was still there. And sure enough, at the end of that book, that hero was there and was riding off in the sunset with the beautiful maiden or whatever was happening. And so he flipped back to where he was reading, and then from there on, every time that his hero would come against a potential problem, every time that his hero would look like certain doom, he would tell whatever evil person was, listen here, buddy, I've already read the end of this book. I know what's happening. You're not going to scare me. And my friend, we know at the end of this, in that day, as the Bible says in verse number 1, as the Bible says in other place in this passage, in that day, in that kingdom, in that day when we'll rule and reign with the Lord, one of the aspects that will be very prevalent is praising God. And I submit to you today that we ought to start this day doing what we will do that day. As I said, a Christian ought to be known by the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. And not only that joy of the Lord, but that praising the Lord for when things don't go wrong, we understand that God's going to work it out to our benefit, for His glory, and for our good. And then we see, just hit it briefly in verse 6, I see the well not only of praise, but then also the well of provision, and I just make an application. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of these. Remember, when these people are going to be at this spot where this chapter describes, they will have already been through the Great Tribulation. They will have already been through all the issues of life. They will already be with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. They will have already had heaven. They would have had that kingdom provided. And so we're transporting ourselves from here to there, saying that when that scenario takes place, we'll understand that all provisions have been met. Why do kids say when they start learning how to pray, we teach them, but why do we start off with this? God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. You say, oh, that's just a trite little prayer. Oh, that's a good habit to get into. Why do we start with God is great? Because He is. Why do we remind our children to remind themselves that by His hands we shall be fed? Because every good and every perfect gift cometh from Him. The provision that God gives is astounding. And so I look at it this morning, and I see this well of provision, this well of praise. And so everybody in here that's born again, you understand that we'll live with the Lord forever and ever, and there'll be some activities that we're involved in, praising and worshiping, just giving His name glory for all of eternity. In the sweet by and by, as we sang about. And now we're not in the sweet by and by, as I mentioned in the prayer to begin with, we're sometimes in what people call the nasty now and now. Well, why don't we reach ahead and get some of the activities that we're going to be doing then and start doing them now? We Christians are living with our anxieties up so high that we can't even have the joy of the Lord. We are bypassing the promises of God because of the detriments of the world that are just crashing in on us. we are skipping, I'm not speaking specifically about anybody in particular, but it happens to all of us, we are skipping our times with the Lord when the Lord wants to settle us with His Word, and we're going right back into the hustle and bustle, and we're getting more anxiety, more anxious and more upset because we didn't have that time when we had that peace of the Lord settle over our soul. What were we not doing? We weren't going back to Mamaw's backyard and drawing out of that well of salvation. And what I want to challenge each of you to do this very week is go with me to Cow Run. You say, is that the real name? That's where my Mamaw lived, right down the bottom of the hill in Cow Run. And go back to the back of that house. And you could draw out of that old hand-dug well and draw out cool, refreshing water. But the truth is, you don't need refreshing water. What we need is the peace of God. We need to remind ourselves of the provision of God. Remind ourselves we ought to praise God. But we'll get it the same way that they got water out of the well back there. Go back with an intent, let that down, and bring up that cool, refreshing substance. If you've lived your life this past week, and you've been so overwhelmed by all the events, all of the scenarios, can I tell you this week what you and I ought to do? We ought to dwell there in verse number 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're saved, I say it kindly, but there's no reason for us to fret and fuss and fume like the world does. We face the same problems they do, but we've got a mountain of resources that they don't have. You ought to draw out of the wells that salvation has brought to your fingertips. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're a Christian, not a born-again Christian, can I tell you in just a moment what God's plan and desire is for your life? The Scripture says that everybody in this room and everybody in the world, for that matter, are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to go to heaven. We're all undeserving. But that Jesus, the Savior, loved us so much that He came and He died on an old rugged cross that you've undoubtedly heard about. We put it, not the one, but a reminder right here at the front of our auditorium. He died on an old rugged cross to provide for you salvation. Salvation from what? From trouble? From disappointment? Worse than that, salvation from your sinful condition. Sometimes even us Christians, we get it mixed up. God didn't come to make you a better husband, make you a better wife, make you a better child, make you a better business partner, a better business owner, better employee. He does all that, but those are all just side effects or fringe benefits, overflows. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this old world. He wouldn't leave heaven's glory just to make you a better employee. He left heaven to provide salvation for you and for me. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, or you're listening, you're not sure that you're saved, God says that Jesus did all the work for your salvation, but you need to accept what He did and turn from yourself and your ability and all that you can muster up and take Him as your Savior. And so that He would forgive your sins and take you to heaven. And then, for all of your life, you're able to draw from this wells of salvation until God sees fit to take you on to glory. And then you'll be with the Savior, and you won't need the help because you'll be absent from this old sinful world and be with Him. So if you're here and you're not saved, I trust that today would be the day that you get born again. You accept Christ as your Savior. And then for the majority of this crowd, you're saved. But if you're facing the problems of this world the same way that your unsaved neighbor does, you're not taking all the advantage, if you want to look at it that way, of your salvation that God wants you to. You get mad and frustrated and cuss and disgust when something goes wrong, just like your unsaved friend does. Folks, these things ought not to be. We ought to draw from the wells of our the well of our salvation and give that peace and that provision and that praise the Lord. And I trust that God has worked in a great work in your heart this very morning. Would you join me in prayer? And I want God to settle it in your heart before you leave today. I pray that He would settle down deep in your life and in your heart what He wants you to do, specifically where this message applies to you. Perhaps you're here and you're a Christian, but you've really just been bypassing the peace and the provision of God. You've been worrying, fretting, just like you did when you were unsaved. Would you lean way back in the arms of Jesus this morning? Would you accept His peace, His comfort? Would you draw that out of that well? And maybe you're here and you're not sure that you are saved. My friend, you're among friends. They love to see you get born again. The only thing that will get anybody to heaven is not being a member of this church, not being the pastor of this church, not being leadership, teacher, an usher, or deacon. The only thing that gets anybody to heaven is Jesus Christ. I told you about that in the first part of that. When it says that He is salvation. He also is become my salvation. If you need to be saved, I trust that you would. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. And maybe something that I mentioned is something you need to deal with. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. Maybe you need to be baptized. You haven't done that since you were saved, but you'd like to take a public stand for Christ. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This is where God has led you to come and be a member. And all those things, I invite you to take care of. Would you stand together as our ladies play something through? If God has moved on your heart, would you step right out this invitation time? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you need to come and present yourself for baptism, and we'll do that real soon. You'd like to take a public stand for Christ and be baptized. Maybe you need to come and be born again. As they play, don't assume the invitation is for other folks. If there's something heavy on your heart, no, there's nothing magic down here at the front. You don't have to come. But some of the best decisions I've ever made is when I came to an altar and just, in my mind, gave it over to the Lord. The altar's open for you. We have some that would like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe God's been moving on your heart to do the same. And you'd like to step out and present yourself for membership. Thank you. As you look this way, here's what I'm so excited to announce to you. James and Mary Trinda and their children, Chase and Taylor, they're a blessing. They've been here for a good while, and we thank God for them. We've got to spend a meal with them and have a good time, and their kids are a blessing, and they are as well. But they are saved and baptized, and they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so we would like to take care of that. If we had a motion to, Brother Stephen Gallion makes that motion. Excuse me, Brother Josh Smith seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign. Amen. Motion carries. Praise the Lord. We're excited. And we've got to, spend some time with them over meal. And Brother Daniel's met with them different times. And they are a blessing. We thank God for them. And what a joy it is to have them come and be here tonight. So hopefully some of you will come and greet them, meet them, and welcome them in and let them know that they get a face with a name and be praying for them that the Lord would bless them. Because one of the duties of a church is to bear one another's burdens. When somebody's going through it, we're all going through it. And it's not every man for himself, every woman for himself. If you're going through it, I'd like to know it. And we want to pray together with you and thank the Lord for them being with us today. Well, I want to invite you back. Brother Dan, you already mentioned it, but tonight, I know it's still going to rain all day. Is that what the last I saw? Is that still the forecast? You know what's going to happen? We'll get home and say, oh, looks like it's raining. I can't go to church. If your windshield wipers aren't working, take the other car. And I'm just being silly. But I do believe it. I've never met the folks that will be here tonight. I know the church that they are based out of, and I believe there'll be a great blessing. The service should be about normal length, about 6:30 to 7:30, maybe 7:40. And this whole family, there's four kids still at home and mom and dad, and they'll be here, and they play a myriad of instruments, and then he'll just give some little sermon thoughts throughout it. It'll be mostly singing, but then he'll present some Bible as well. So we always like to do that, of course, when we have the people get together. But so it should be about an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes, and we'll have a great time together in the service tonight at 6:30. And as Brother Daniel mentioned, milk and cookies. Where else can you get that? Singing and milk and cookies. And we've got Grandma's cookies. And Brother Bobby Whitson got us hooked up with some milk. So we've got, you're just like you are back in school, the little cartons. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've been in school. And so we're going to take you back to your childhood. And we'll have a great time tonight. Come be with us. We'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. So, Brother Daniel, would you come pray and dismiss us? And then if you're able to, slip by and greet and welcome Brother James and Miss Mary. And we're thankful for them being here. You pray for us.
Father, thank you for the day that you've given us to be in church this morning. Lord, we're so grateful for the time we've been able to spend hearing your word preached and taught. And Lord, also just time around one another. And Lord, I pray that as we interact with one another just in the next few minutes after the service, that we'll be able to make some connections, just have a good time fellowshipping together before we head out. And then Lord, bring us all safely back together for a great service tonight. Lord, we thank you for our church in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.